It says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord, I abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come in thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of my enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy them, O God. Let them all fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgression. For they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield. Just have a little prayer. Thank you, Lord God, for just watching over us and caring for us. In times that we don't even know, dear Lord, you're watching over us and keeping us. Thank you for everyone here today. I pray that especially you'll bless our pastor as he brings the word this morning that you've put in his heart. Be with our pastor, Brother Jack, as he's visiting with his family and those that went with him. I pray that they'll have a great time in you, dear Lord God. And while we are back here, we're thanking you for everyone that will be here today. We just ask that you'll bless us now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Sing this little song here. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Oh, joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. 'Cause joy today is mine. Oh, happiness is mine. Happiness is mine. Happiness today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. Happiness today is mine. Oh, I woke up this morning, didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. I told Satan, oh, get thee behind. Happiness today is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. I woke up this morning, didn't have no doubt, knew that the Lord would bring me out. Oh, I walk by faith each and every day, 'cause I know that the Lord will show me the way. Oh, victory is mine. victory is mine. Oh, victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan, oh, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Amen. Thank you, Lord. A little bit nervous here, but the Lord will get us through here. Thank you, Jesus. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. The glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord, let it rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. One more time. Let the glory of the Lord, oh, rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of our King rise among us. Oh, let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's a little song. We have come this far by faith. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord, oh, trusting in His holy word. He never failed me yet. Oh, I say, oh, 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 oh. Can't turn around. We've come this far by faith. Oh, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. Oh, I will trust in the Lord till I die. Whoa. Oh, I will trust in the Lord. Oh, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. Oh, I'm going to stay on the battlefield. Oh, I'm going to stay on the battlefield. Oh, I'm gonna stay on the battlefield till I die. Whoa, I'm gonna treat everybody right. Oh, I'm gonna treat everybody right. Oh, I'm gonna treat everybody right. Oh, till I die. I will trust in the Lord. Oh, I will trust in the Lord. Oh, I will trust in the Lord till I die. Oh, I will trust in the Lord. Oh, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Trust in the Lord. Glory.
Here says, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice and told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Oh, draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Oh, draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Oh, draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. You may be seated as we get ready for the offering, please. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Oh, give thanks to the Holy One. Oh, give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. And now, oh, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Oh, we give thanks. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you, Father. Lord, we just give you the glory and honor, Father. Lord, we ask you to bless this service today, Father. Lord, we are small in number, Lord, but you always deal with
lesser than you did with greater, Father God. Lord, we're asking you to move in this place today, Father. Lord, this is not about our pastor, Father, even though he's out of town. We ask you to bless him. But, Lord, you know who's going to be here this morning. We ask you to anoint him, Father. Let your Holy Spirit just come down and fill this place, Father God. Let us move within the spirit of your realm, Father God. Lord, bless us now, Lord, as we prepare to lift this offering, Lord. We ask you to bless it, Father God. Bless those that give. Bless those that had a desire to give and wasn't able, Father God. Lord, you said, Father God, if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully, Father God. So, Lord, we ask that you bless everyone that participated in this offering today, Lord, that you will bless them by 100-fold, Father. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord God. Amen.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Oh, give thanks to the Holy One. Oh, give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ His Son. Oh, and now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now, oh, let the weak. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. We give thanks.
Thank you, Jesus. I have some visitors today, Micah and Wensley. Invited by BJ, we welcome you. Thanks for being here today. As our brother said, we're small in number, but we're here to praise God. Let's stand as we welcome our brother to the pulpit here this morning. We'll sing this little song. It says, God is so good. God is so good. Oh, God is so good. He's so good to me. I love Him so. Oh, I love Him so. I love Him so. He's so good to me. Oh, He cares for me. He cares for me. Oh, He cares for me. He's so good to me. Oh, I'll praise His name. I'll praise His name. Oh, I'll praise His name. He's so good to me. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Oh, God is so good. He's so good to me.
God bless you, everyone. It's good to be here. Amen. The show must go on. Amen. We're twos and threes to get together. Bring our mind to miss. Amen. Just turn around and greet your brother and sister this morning. Love you all. I just want to thank Brother Jack for inviting me. Amen. It's good to know that someone have confidence in you. Amen. To invite you to fill in when they're not here. Amen. Most of you already know me. If you don't know me, my name is Brother Sean from Brother Smiley's Church in Okeechobee. Amen. And my desire is to win as many souls as we can for the kingdom of God, using whatever medium we have to use to bring them to Christ. Not to bring them to the church, to bring them to Christ. Amen. Amen. A lot of the times we get into a traditional way of doing things. But I believe in tradition to a certain standpoint, but I love to break tradition a lot of the times. Amen. You get into that traditional mindset, you can miss God sometimes. Amen. Oh, let's go to the book of Revelations, chapter 1. We'll see what God has for us this morning. I have a message that I've selected to speak on, but we don't know how that's going to go. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. When a minister gets up before God's people, he yields himself. Amen. It's not necessarily what I desire to bring. It's what he has for that portion of time for his people. Because we are all individuals and we have different needs this morning. And I pray that you get your needs met this morning. No, Revelation 2, I'm sorry. We'll read. When you have it, say amen. And it reads, "And the angel of the church, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and have found them liars, and hast borne patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. Pray, God, you just forgive me, Lord, for anything I've said, Lord, that will hinder your spirit from moving this morning. I pray, God, you just forgive us all. Lord, and at the end of this sermon, Lord, I pray, God, that we'll be closer to you. Lord, I pray, God, you just forgive us, Lord. Bless us in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank God for everyone who made it this morning. And if you have any visitors, I pray that you have a good time this morning. Amen. As we look back at the scripture that we read, you know, this was the first church age, the church age of Ephesus. And God was telling them that they couldn't stand those that were evil, those that were bearing a false testimony. Amen. They tried those that were there, said that they were apostles, and found out that they were not, which means they really weren't following the word that was revealed for that time. Amen. And said, verse 3 said, "And has borne and has patience." They still have patience. They labored, still labored. But notice that they didn't faint. Amen. But one thing he had against them was because they left their first love. Amen. And we know that this wasn't the original 12 that started out in the book of Ephesus, that first church. It wasn't those original 12. But as time went on, as people were added and added and added and started following the message of the hour at that time, they started to get slack. Amen. Things started to creep in that weren't supposed to be there from the beginning. And, you know, we can get into idolatry. It was idolatry. It was back during the days where you have the sports and the different things like that. And you know, and idolatry basically had permeated the church in such a way, you know, that people had gotten formal and cold, just coming to church just because it was a tradition. Amen. But they had lost the spark. They really had lost the love that they once had from the beginning. And time has a way of telling us who we really are. Just as with them, time has a way of telling me what I really believe or not. Time has a way of telling me if I truly believe this gospel when I said I believe it or not. Most of us, we are very fervent when we come in, Brother Burroughs. 2-3 years, you know, we are gung-ho for the message of the hour. Amen. But as time goes on, we are exposed to certain things that we think that shouldn't be done. And that doesn't necessarily mean that our idea is correct. Then it could be wrong, it could be right. But is those things, you know, they kind of, let's say, rub us the wrong way, so to speak. You know, and we tend to lose sight of what our goal is. Amen. But as time goes on, you'll see that there are a lot of people that will say, oh, I believe the message and I believe God. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the message, even though that's the driving force, you know, this morning, what we're dealing with. Just believing God in general, believing God for your healing, believing God for a better job, believing God for the salvation of your children, your family, a better marriage or whatever. You know, it tends to dwindle sometimes. But when we first met, you know, our loved ones, there was something peculiar about that person that actually drawed us to them. They had their own peculiarities, correct? And there was a spark. There was something like, oh my God, you know, I just love the way she said that. I love the way he does that. I love the way he looks. I love the way she looks. I mean, it's just reality, right? Even though we're Christians, but we tend to act too rigid sometimes, you know, and make it look like, you know, well, we got it all figured out. You know, ministers don't have it all figured out. Don't let them tell you that now. One thing about me as a minister, I'm going to be real. I'm a realist, if there's such a word. So I'm going to tell you just like it is. You know, whatever spark that was that caught your attention for the message is still there. But yet and still, we tend to become sidetracked. We tend to lose the desire or lose the passion. Lose the fire, lose the intimacy for our husband. And that can even be applied to the natural. Because when you see your wife or husband, you know, well, like I said before, there's something that attracts you to that person. But as you become, let's say, self-reliant, then you want to fend for yourself, so to speak. And the person doesn't look as attractive as they did. Why is that? I think it's because something else has caught our attention. Amen? But our relationships with our wives and husbands should mirror the Word of God. That's what the book of Ephesians said. A man should love his wife like Christ loved the church. But we find out that that's not always the way it is. Amen? Because when I look at my wife, if I treat my wife like a doormat, and this is not my message, but I'm following the leadership. If I treat my wife like a doormat, I don't love Christ. It might be strong, but in all actuality, I cannot love her the way I'm supposed to be loving her if I treat her like a doormat. Right? If I don't tell her I love her, make love to her and hug her and kiss her and walk in the park and buy her a new dress or, you know, get her here to do, how can I love her if I don't show I love her? And on the other hand, how can I say I love Christ when I don't show Him that I love Him? When my wife and I first got married, you know, we were always together, Brother Burse. Always together. You see me, you see her. Even when we were courting, you know, you see her, you saw me. You see her, you saw me. We were always together. It was like we had created such a bond. And it seemed like nothing can come between us. However, in our Christian walk, something has came between me and Christ. And I'm a minister, I'm telling you. You think, well, Brother Sean, well, you shouldn't be saying that. Well, listen.
If I tell you that my walk is the same way it was when I first came in, I'll be lying to you. Because I prayed more when I first came in. I fasted more when I first came in. Every person that had a book with William Branham on it, I wanted that book. Every time I heard something that I didn't hear on the tape, I wanted that tape for myself. But as time goes on, I receive head knowledge. And head knowledge took the place of the revelation. Because now we know up here. But it didn't become a revelation. But after you heard and you heard and you heard and it's not really revealed to you, then you can start gossiping. Then you know that you don't have to confess anymore. It's not right. It's wrong. After you heard and you heard and it hasn't become a revelation, then you know that you can get to church late. Then you know you don't have to pay your tithes because God understands. No, He doesn't. We have left our first love. Something has taken the place of our first love. I don't know what it is for you, but I know what it is for me. And I'm working on it. I believe that I should be further up the road than where I am right now. Amen. Although I'm not what I used to be. Amen. I'm still running. Amen. I'm still struggling. Right. I'm still fighting. I'm not going to give up. Amen. And you should come to that same resolve. Amen. No matter how hard, no matter how tough it seems, there's still hope. Yes. Glory. Now notice what the scripture said. The scripture never said that you lost your first love. It said you left it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a vast difference between losing it and leaving it.
Right.
There's a difference. So if I left my first love is still waiting there for me. Because He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you until the end of the age. Now when you lost your love, there's a vast possibility that you'll not gain it back. Take, for instance, a man that doesn't treat his wife properly. If he loses her, he just loses her.
Yeah.
It will be his fault if he didn't take care of her.
Right.
And vice versa. It will be her fault if she didn't take care of the man. Amen. Now, with that being said, we as Christians, we should also take care of our spouses. Yeah. A lot of the times you might not hear it preach. But if I don't take care of my wife, there's somebody else out there that's willing to take care of her. Don't shut me down now. If you don't take care of your husband, there's somebody out there that's willing to take care of them.
Amen.
There's some lady on the job, some young man on the job, that's willing to do what you're not doing.
Amen.
And don't think for one reason that your wife won't leave you or your husband will not leave you. Well, if we leave Christ, and that's a spiritual.
Yeah.
That's our greater head. What makes you think your wife will not leave you?
Amen.
Well, you know what? Oh, that's not going to happen because it's not in the message. Somebody lied to you. Because if there's anybody that Satan really wants to destroy their marriage, it's you people that are sitting here.
Amen.
Satan wants to destroy your marriage, Brother Burrs. He would love to destroy mine. No, I'm not giving anyone any green light to commit adultery or do, you know, don't, you know. I'm just speaking.
Amen.
Because they know there are people right now that have been following the message that their wives and husbands left them. Preachers and all.
Amen.
So if it happened to them, it can happen to me. But I need to stay. I need to stay under the blood.
Amen.
I need to constantly stay before God. I need my fire rekindled. That's the title of my message. We have got to rekindle the fire. Because if we don't rekindle the fire, it's going to go out. We need to understand that we are living in a highly scientific age. And everything out there is waiting to grab your attention. We have so many things at our disposal, and we're using them, most of them, in the wrong way. These things are supposed to help us, but they're destroying us, making us more and more of a slave. But it's not supposed to be like that. Now you're going to come to a point in your life where you'll feel like, God, what's the use? I can't make it. Yes, you can. Because you have already made it. When you look at certain brothers in the Bible, let's look at Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham went down to Amalek. I think it was Amalek. And he had his wife to lie. Well, I have some quotes here, and I'll probably read it. He had his wife to lie. But the reason he lied was because he was under pressure. You, as a message believer, the bride of Christ, Christ's wife, you might be placed in a situation where you will lie. A lot of people don't like to hear it like this. But not to tell the whole truth is still a lie. To omit one little scintilla of the truth is to tell a lie. To exaggerate the truth is to tell a lie. To fabricate the truth is to tell a lie. You don't have to tell a blatant lie, but just to omit one little iota of it is to tell a lie. Many times we do that to save our skin. It shouldn't be, but we will do it. We know how smart we are. Well, if they didn't ask me this, I'm not going to tell it to them. But within your heart, you know what the person means. But you're trying to justify yourself because you think you're smart. But Abraham had his wife to tell a lie. It was grace for him. And then his son, Isaac, did the same thing. Sarah was Abraham's wife, but she was also his sister. Right? Brother Branham said that he lied to save his skin. Many times we find ourselves in these situations, our backs are against the wall. But there's grace. Look at Paul, the messenger of the first church age. Paul, citizen of Cilicia. Cilicia back then was in the Roman province. But Paul was a Jew. Paul, being a Jew, born in Cilicia, which gave him Roman citizenship. But Paul said, I'm ready to die. I'll go all the way for Christ. But after he was getting flogged and flogged and flogged, there came a time when they were about to flog, and Paul said, wait a minute. Is it lawful for you to hit a Roman citizen? But the man was a Jew. But here he's under pressure, and he's using his intelligence to keep the whip from off his back. And we do it many times. Well, if that's not enough, let's bring it a little further down. Our own messenger, when his back was against the wall, he said he was under so much pressure with that case, that income tax case. He stepped out the door and he told his wife, tell him I'm not home. Well, we might say, you know, we can find things to justify when we want to do things, correct? We might say, well, this person didn't have the Holy Ghost because they did this. Right? Well, we know the prophet of God had the Holy Ghost. But he still told his wife to tell a lie.
Now that might be a little too strong.
Oh my God, the prophet? We all know the message. It's in there. But it's after you transgress, you come back. Because there's a Holy Ghost within you that will not let you stay that way. If you claiming to have the Holy Ghost and you don't go back and get it right, then you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost never lies.
Amen.
Your flesh will lie. The Holy Ghost never lies.
Amen.
We try to put categories, you know, in regards to sin. But what is the difference, my brother, sister, when you go to the restaurant and they give you one straw and you take two? What is the difference when you go to McDonald's and they give you one napkin and you grab a whole bunch of napkins for the whole week? Is that right or wrong? It's 100% wrong. But the man that goes and robbed the bank, we will say, okay, he needs X amount of years in prison for robbing the bank because he took money. What is the difference with taking the napkins that aren't yours? Well, I went to McDonald's and my homeboy was in the drive-thru and he gave me an extra hamburger. Never follow a multitude to do evil. You're an accessory to the crime. You're stealing. Contributing to shrinkage. But the man that walks out on his wife and actually mess with another person's wife or whatever, he's an adulterer. But what about you that see the women and lust after them every day? What's the difference?
It's magnified. I hope this is not too hard.
Are y'all following me? Or should I say, do y'all feel me? Which one? Right? Well, I don't believe in cursing. Well, if you're cursing my house, well, I'll kick you out. But what is the difference when you go to the Red Box and you get a DVD and it's laced with profanity? You're not only out of your mind, you're really out of your mind. Now you're paying for people to curse in your house.
I hope y'all don't think I'm a comic.
But the truth has got to be told.
Amen.
We are all struggling. We are all fighting to make it. None of us are better than the other man. We need to see things the way Christ sees them. If you're going to follow the message, follow the message.
Amen.
If you're not going to follow it, don't follow it. It is simple. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you're going to follow it, follow it. Rekindle the fire. Whatever it takes for you to get back where you're supposed to be is still there waiting. But there's going to come a time that time will run out for you. Time will run out for me. I don't want to be left behind. But it's a reality. There are people that will be left behind. People will hear the word of God every day, 3 days a week, and it does nothing. Nothing for them. That's a bad situation to be in. Really bad situation. Let me read what Brother Branham said. That way y'all will see what I'm talking about Abraham, if I can find it. If I can't find it, no problem. We'll keep going. Let's give him a hand. Okay, here it is, right here. Okay. And I'll read. He says, sitting out there lying, and a man that would do that against his wife to save his own neck. Speaking of Abraham, are you worthy of that? What am I trying to do? Show you that God's grace that's made you worthy. Everyone that's sitting here, there's nothing you do. Nothing you can do to merit God's mercy, to merit His grace. It's because He loves you. I don't care how much you come to church. I don't care how much money you give. Your righteousness is still as filthy rags in the eyes of God. You're no better than the prostitute that walks the street. You're no better than the drug addict that walks the street. Because when you look at it, because God saw it fit to come in flesh in Jesus' lineage to go way back to a prostitute by the name of Rahab. So when you look at that prostitute, think again. When you look at the drug addict, think again. When you look at the gothic person, think again. Because it could have been you. And then when you consider, why is that person like that? There had to be a driving force to drive that person to that. Nobody wakes up one morning and decides that they're going to be a drug addict. Nobody wakes up and say, I'm going to be gothic. Nobody wakes up and decide I'm going to suffer from depression. Nobody wakes up and decide I want to be a prostitute. But there's a higher force that they cannot control that drives them to doing that. No woman wakes up, say they want to go from man to man. They're crazy. We look at the man that runs up and down, strip his clothes off, the woman that stripped their clothes off and say they're crazy. We look at the man that goes into the post office and go ballistic and say they're crazy. But you are crazy if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Never heard that. Brother Branham said a man without the Holy Ghost is out of his mind. Kind of strong, isn't it? That even hit me hard. But why do people engage in these deviant behaviors? Something has transpired in their lives, probably from the time they were children, and they can't seem to shake it. There are many people sitting in message churches, men and women that have been violated when they were younger by people they love, people they don't know, people they're entrusted with their lives, but they have been violated, molested, and they can't seem to shake it. Then it turns them on a different path. Then you wonder, why is a woman a lesbian? Why? Do you know why she's doing that? Could it be that she has been hurted by millions of men in her family, those that were supposed to take care of her? And now she's tired of being hurt. So she figured, well, if I befriend a woman, she can't hurt me. Have you considered that? I think this is sinking real deep. But have we considered why people do the things they do? Have anything ever happened to you when you were growing up that you don't want to say about it, anything about it? Well, do you see how it affects you? Things that you've done that nobody knows about? Can you see how it affects you and still affects you? Secret things that have happened to us that we're embarrassed to tell. But God has showed us grace. And we know how we can let off the pressure. But those people don't know how to do it. They're waiting on me. They're waiting on you. But yet and still we judge them. My job as a counselor, I work with a lot of teens. And every teen that I've spoken to that is a homosexual, bisexual, gay, or whatever, they have been molested. They have been abused by people close to them. What's going to happen to them, Brother Wisdom, if nobody show love? We have got to be Jesus to the world. We have got to be Jesus to the drunkard on the streets. If you believe God is coming now, why are we still sitting in the church and not ministering to the people on the streets? You think God brought the message for you alone? No! He didn't bring it for me alone. Because when we get it, we really don't get it. We get it up here. But Jesus is love. This message is love. I wonder what will happen if we see a trail of gothic kids walking in this church. What will happen? Are we going to label them as Satan? What happened if a trail of homosexuals walk through our churches and really desire to be saved? What will we do? Are we going to condemn them?
Are we going to show them love? Are we going to be homophobic towards them? If you have the Holy Ghost, you don't have to be homophobic. They cannot hurt you. They want love, but they're looking in the wrong place for love. They're following perverted love. We need to re-examine our thought processes. Because I think God don't want us to be judging people. As a matter of fact, I know He doesn't want us to be judging people. About 5 or 6 years ago, I basically got away from that. Because God has taught me a lot of things. Working with people and seeing why people do things. We are from different cultures. We think differently. We have our own peculiarities. We are wired different. What might be bad for this person might be good for me. Right? What one person might think is good, I might think is really not that good. Am I making sense? Are y'all following me? But we need to point the guns to the right individual, Satan. Not on flesh. The Bible said we should know nobody after the flesh. But we just can't see past the flesh. And that happens many times with people sitting in the congregation looking at the minister. And I'm sure, I know that I'm speaking to people this morning. Because this is not my message. And I can tell by the way the people are sitting right now that it's sinking. I can tell that people have been through what I'm talking about. I believe this is God's will this morning. But there's hope. Amen. There's hope for the dying. There's hope for the broken heart. Amen. We don't need a theoretical message. The message and the power of God is only a theory to you and me. Unless there's manifestations that follow it. Everybody can say Mark 16 this. Revelation 10:7 is where, show it to me. For God so loved the world that He died for a silly kid like me. A wicked man like me. But He loved me. We need God's will to be done in our lives. Jesus was God. The very essence of God. God Himself. But when He saw what He was going to go through, He said, Father, please let this cup pass from me. Please let this cup pass from me. He knew why He came. He said, lo, it's written of me in the volume of the book. I delight to do thy will, O God. But when that flesh started bucking, just like my flesh would buck. Oh God, I don't want to do it. Oh God, don't let it happen. He prayed 3 times. God didn't hear that prayer. But you know what I believe Jesus saw, Brother Wisdom? He saw that I will need help. He saw that you will need help, Brother Robert. He saw you, Brother Wisdom. He saw you, Brother Mike. He knew that we needed Him. Then He said, nonetheless, let your will be done. Knowing that He was going to be stripped naked in front of His mom. In front of His earthly father. In front of His brethren. Stripped naked. That's shame. Who wants to be stripped naked in front of their parents? A grown man stripped naked for the whole of West Palm to see you hanging on a tree when you're totally innocent. The artist, they'll paint the little thing around the loin area. But in all actuality, He was stripped naked. Amen. For everyone to see, and He did it for me. And then I left my first love. He loved me first. Yeah. But then I don't read. He loved me first. Then I don't pray. He loved me first. Then I judge. He loved me first. Then I don't pay my tithes and offering. He loved me first. then I don't forgive my brother and sister. That's hate. That's not love. Because my life should mirror his life. We're sitting here and we get too comfortable sitting on the pews and people are dying.
This is not a rebuke. It's a message of warning. We're speaking about rekindling the fire.
But the same way God has given us grace, this grace out there, he's not walking the streets of West Palm Beach anymore. He's walking through you.
Amen.
It's God's grace that you're here, brother. Because you could have been dead. It wasn't an accident that you're here. He loved you.
Amen.
He died for you.
Yes.
When he said, God, I don't want to do it. Let this cup pass. I believe he called a vision to you. I don't know what your name is. But when he saw you, he said, I got to go. Because I know someday he's going to be right there sitting in Brother Jack's church. If I don't die, it's not going to happen. So he had to die so you can come here.
Glory.
Hallelujah. I remember growing up as a boy in the islands, going to school without shoes on my feet. Many times, no food to eat. Eating crackers and butter. But he saw me. There was something inside me. Always wanted to be a preacher. Always wanted to be a Christian. Not to look good, but to tell of his love. Tell of his goodness.
All in all, it was difficult. It took my mom leaving Barbados to come here. Leaving an 11-year-old boy and a 9-year-old boy with a granddad.
But there was something in me still wanted God.
Yeah. Came 19. Came over here. That's where God wanted me. I was introduced to the message of the hour. And I'm following it. And I'll die for it.
Amen.
It's the truth. Everything within the message of the hour is the truth.
Everything is the truth.
Amen.
There are no inconsistencies in the message. There's an inconsistency in our understanding of the message. That's the difference. That's what causes discrepancy. When we use our own carnal mind to think, to try to figure out God's word. Amen. There are no inconsistencies, Brother Mike.
God's word means exactly what it said.
Amen.
If it said that there'll be a church without spot or wrinkle, you have to believe that you are that church. You have to believe that if you say to that mountain and be removed, it has to obey you.
Amen.
You have to believe that you're royalty.
Yes.
Even though I've done many wrong things in my life as a kid growing up and an adult, I was still a son of a king. You are still a daughter of the king.
Amen.
I was still a prince.
Yes.
And I'm still a prince. And all heaven backs me.
Yes.
Wherever I go,
Amen.
There are angels all around me. I have more protection than the Pope of Rome.
Amen.
I have more protection than the President of the United States of America.
Yes.
I have more protection than the Prime Minister of Russia. I have more protection than Queen Elizabeth of Europe. Queen Elizabeth of London, England. Because I'm a child of the king.
Talk about protection and royalty. I'm God's word made manifest.
You are God's word made manifest.
Because he said there'll be a church without spot or wrinkle. And that's you.
God is preparing us.
For the flight. And if he's preparing us for the flight, the regimen has got to be strict. It has got to be really strict. When a person is enlisted in the army, they get some real strict drill sergeants.
because their goal is to change your identity. They want you to think militant. You can no longer think like a civilian because we're in a war. A spiritual war. We need to be ready. In a minute. When the British was coming in to take Lexington and Concord, when the news went out, the British are coming. Those Americans were ready in a minute. They call them minute men. But when the word goes forth many times behind the pulpit like it's going forth now, we cease to get ready in a minute. We figure, oh, that's just Brother Sean talking. Who does he think he is? I'm nobody. I remember what that song said. I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody about somebody who can save everybody. That's who I am. Nobody. But I can tell you what God has done for me. I was going down a bad road. A road that was leading to destruction. Amen. Pursuing a bodybuilding career. And 1 month before my first contest, I had a hernia in my umbilical cord. And I tried and tried and tried to go and lift so I can get back in shape, but I can never get back there. Because during that time, God by the name of Brother Mike Willingham was witnessing to me. Witnessing to me. You know how good it felt to be walking around with your chest like that and legs like a tree trunk, thinking that you all that? But God said, I got something for you. You're going to be building your body all right. A body of faith and a body of the church, the Christ church. Still a bit in my body, building up his body. A body of faith, muscles of faith. God knows how to do it. Growing up, wanted to be a DJ. Whole bunch of music and everything. Having block parties and everything. Because I thought that was the way. It was a way. But it was a way that was leading me to destruction. And most young people, oh, they want to be DJs. They want to be football stars. They want to be basketball stars. What happens if you get cut? Do you have anything up here to back you up? Let me say this for a few minutes here. Let me say this for a few minutes. Most of our people are indoctrinated. Doesn't sound good coming from a person that works for the school, does it? But most of our children are indoctrinated every day. Indoctrinated by the school system, by the educational system. They want everybody to think the same way. They don't want you to think on your own. They don't want you to be a free thinker. They want you to think what they're telling you to think. To that end, they're pushing it and pushing it and pushing their agenda every day. Getting people ready for the mark of the beast. Gotten to a place right now where most of our minority kids, their parents are so screwed up in the mind, they're stigmatizing their kids so they can get a check a month. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. So they can get a check, Brother Burrs. A little $500 and some a month just to say your child is slow. Don't you know when you put that stigma on your child, you're ruining your child for life? I have this philosophy that every child can learn. Amen. Every child can learn. Yes. Unless you have some kind of brain deficiency. Right. And you don't hardly find that. That comes from trauma and stuff like that. Yeah. But if my child can sit there on a computer and play Madden and play Halo, all of these games that are strategically arranged and beat the game, you can do algebra. These games are strategically arranged and you figure the strategy out. Or simply put, you figure the formula out. Algebra is all formulas. Trigonometry is formulas. When you figure the formula out, you beat the game. When you figure the algebraic formula out, you can beat the algebra. But all resolve is, oh, I'm not good at math. It's all numbers. Same thing with your video game. It's all numbers. Triangles, circles, squares. In order to hit a run and roll in this, you press triangle, square, round. Triangle, square, box. It's the same thing. No different. It's all formulas.
A lot of it has to do with the parents, too. The parents are lazy.
Because we figure the teacher is supposed to teach them. They're getting paid for it.
But you have a responsibility as a parent to your kid. You should spend time with your kid.
Because if you don't, and I'll be honest with you,
there's a vast number of teachers that are just doing it for the paycheck. Brother Sean, you shouldn't say that. I say it because I work with them. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not making it up. Because what is happening? Everything is coming to a head. And children have become so, for lack of a better word, bad. Right? In this day. No respect for authority whatsoever. None. You tell them, you know, be quiet, and they'll just keep going. Just keep going, like you're speaking Dutch. Be quiet. Didn't you hear what I just say? But if you say shut up, they catch that real quick. You can't tell me shut up. How come they answer at that? But they won't answer, be quiet. But they'll answer, shut up. Now, that's not politically correct. But it works for me in my class. So when I say, be quiet, students. All right, guys, y'all heard me. Now be quiet. That's okay. Shut up. It works. Should it be that way? No. But you have to control. We're going to get off that little control thing there. We're not going to go into that. Don't want to expose the educational system that much.
But it is rotten. It is rotten. You have young girls walking through the schoolyard, no clothes on. No clothes on. Middle school, and you think that they're graduated from school already. And the administration is not saying anything about it. Why aren't they saying anything? That's interesting. They're not saying anything about it. The kids have figured out that they have more, let's say, rights than the parents. And they're doing the same thing at school. And we as message believers, Christians, as a matter of fact, we should not let our kids tell us what they're going to do and not going to do. We need to lay the law down. So this is the way you're going to do it. Now, I'm not talking about you being, you know, ruling them with a rod of iron. But you have to understand what the kids are going through also. You have to be patient with your children. Because they're under a lot of pressure. Imagine you're walking through the schoolyard and you see a young man and a young lady in the corner kissing. And your daughter sees that. Your son sees that every day. Every day. Your son sees the two girls kissing. Your son sees the two guys kissing. The school don't do anything about it, and they can't catch everything. We need to train our kids. We need to teach them. Teaching your kid doesn't mean education. It doesn't mean you send them off to a college. You should send them to college. Because now that, having said that, You can't hardly find a decent young man now that will take care of your daughter. Because they're soft. Most young men will rather sell drugs. Most young men have became men-childs. Men-childs. They're men, but they're sitting before video games. Playing Madden. I've never really checked the survey on that, but I can guarantee there's a vast amount of men that spend time, a whole bunch of time playing football on the PlayStation. And they're not saying that there's nothing wrong with it. You know? Not saying that there's nothing wrong with it. If you play games, but don't spend too much time playing games. We got to get back to our first love. We got to rekindle the fire. Whatever it takes for you to get back to where you're supposed to be, you need to do it. I need to do it. And most of the time, we have taken on things that we really didn't need to take on. I was telling the church last week, because you see something on sale and you go buy it, that doesn't mean that you're saving money. Because it's on sale, JCPenney's always have sales. So if I don't need anything and I go to JCPenney's because they got a sale, am I saving money? Well, they have Angel Soft Tissue, the 20-pack. I don't know if they come that much, though. But 20-pack for $8. Well, do you use Angel Soft? Do you use Charmin? You can get a 12-roll for whatever amount of dollars. Well, it's on sale. But do you have the money to buy it? Do you even use Charmin? Because it's on sale, I'm going to go ahead. I'm getting a bargain. No, you're not getting a bargain. You're just spending money. Going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. Satan has us so preoccupied. As measured believers, as Christians, Jesus spoke of money. I guess I'm going all over the place now. I can feel myself winding down. Maybe somebody needs this. Jesus spoke of money in the Bible, investments. I don't believe that we should be living from paycheck to paycheck. I do not believe that at all. I do not believe that. We should live within our means. We should not be spending more than we are bringing home. If you're bringing home $500 a month, come on now. If you're bringing home $500 a month, your monthly bill should not be $500. It should be way lower than that. But Satan is doing these things to us because we're trying to compete with the Joneses and the Smiths. And when you do that, you can't give to the ministry. You can't help the other brother and sister that's in need. I believe God has called us to be smarter than that. We are much wiser than that. Our main purpose should be to get souls saved. To make sure that we are in. Make sure that we are right. Because time is winding up. I don't know if you're going to be here next week. You don't know when you leave here if you're going to die. Are you ready? If God were to call you home right now, are you ready? Are you willing to change your negative behavior? Are you willing to rekindle the fire? Are you willing? Do you think you have it all figured out? That you don't need God anymore? You don't need your husband anymore? At first, when you started courtship, you needed him. But now you got a job, you're making good money now, you don't need him anymore? You don't need to consult him anymore? Do you still need your wife? Do you still talk to her the way you do? Do you still tell her you love her? Do you still tell your husband you love him? Do you still go to the park with him? Do you still go to the park with your wife? Do you still give her breakfast in bed? Do you still give him breakfast in bed? Do you still say, this dress looks nice on you?
Do you say, that jacket look nice on you, that shirt will look nice on you? I was just walking through the mall and I know it will look so good on you, I just bought it. Do you still do that? Or have you totally lost the love for your mate? I hope not. If you left it, it's still there. Rekindle. Let the musicians come forth. Rekindle the fire. Rekindle that passion. Don't live in a fantasy. Don't think that, okay, well, he'll always be there. Well, you know, we're in the message. You can't leave me. Listen, people in the message have separated. I'm talking about husband and wife have separated, left each other in the message. So don't think it will not happen to you. And like I said, I'm not giving anyone the green light to separate or whatever. Pray that God will give you the love for your spouse. The love that he loved us with. Because if it's not his love, if it's not that true agape love, you're gonna mess up all the time. Time will tell if you really love your spouse. Time will tell. Because it's going to get really hard. Really hard. And husbands and wives, if you have anything that you need, that you haven't confessed, that you need to talk over, talk it over. Talk it over. Don't let it build. Because if you let it build, I can guarantee you it's going to explode. Then you're going to say something you really didn't mean to say. And the very thing right now that may have formed a wedge between your relationship, if you don't get that situation rectified, that's the very thing that's going to bust you up. But Jesus can help you. He helped me. He helped my wife. He helped you, Brother Burroughs. He helped you and whoever else is married. That's why we're here this morning. Because I cannot treat my wife the way that I should treat her other than if I didn't have God within me. Because he taught me, Brother Burroughs, how to treat my wife. He teaches me every day, Brother Wisdom. I'm still learning my wife. The first 2 years it was rough. Right? And I'm sure all the brothers can attest to that. And especially if she's an American and I'm from the islands. Right? So there's a culture barrier right there. She thought I was speaking too fast. I thought she was speaking too fast. She said, well, I couldn't understand you. I said, well, you probably won't believe it, but I couldn't understand you either. Yes. You know, it was just like, just please slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. You're talking a little too fast. Well, no, you're talking too fast. You know? But then I had to learn and learn and learn. Amen. Right, Brother Garrett? I had to learn, you know, like, not to say it this way. Because when I say it that way, it crushes her. Like, okay, Lord, help me now, help me. Now, my culture says it's cool to say it that way. But in her culture, like, no, you can't say it that way. Right? So there's a compromise there. Mm-hmm. A good compromise, however. You know, not a bad compromise. Because in marriage, you have to compromise. Amen. Certain times, brother, you might want to do something, and then your wife says, well, no. Well, even though you know it's the best thing to do, like, okay, all right, God, you know it's the best thing to do, but I'm going to chill just for a minute, you know, until you bring her up to speed, and then we're going to do it. Anybody know about that? Amen. Let me see the hands of the brothers who know about that. Amen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Brother Gary, you don't know about that. But y'all follow me, right?
Amen.
You just have to wait. And certain times she might say, well, hon, I think we need to do this. Well, nah, I don't really think we need to do it. And I don't want to do it. But because she want to do it, all right, I'll do it. I'll do it. Okay, all right. Because we got to live together. And we have got to make it work. We have got to make it work. And the more you understand each other, the more you will love each other. Amen. I say like Brother Branham say, you were a good audience this morning. Amen.
Amen. I hope I didn't bore you. I hope I didn't take too much time. Surveys have said that through research, they estimate that 30 to 60% of marriage individuals in the United States will have an affair at some time in their relationship. That is really bad. 30 to 60% have an affair. And that's natural. You know? And I believe, if I can say, not trying to be sacrilegious, I believe that I've had an affair, that I've had affairs on my Maker, Christ. I believe that. Doing things that I know that I shouldn't do. Because none of us are inept. We're smart people. When we're doing things, brothers, and I'm not saying all the time, we know that we shouldn't do things, but we still do it. We know we should pray. And then we don't. Lord, forgive us all. Lord, forgive us. Thank Him for saving me. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that what was said this morning was taken in the right spirit that it was intended, Lord. Father God, we have left our first love, Lord. Lord, things we used to do when we first came into the Word of the Hour, we don't do them the way we should, Lord. It's not, Lord, that we don't love You, but Lord, we love You, Lord God, but we become so preoccupied with things of the world, things, Lord God, that are designed to trap us, things, that Lord God, that are designed to ensnare us. Lord God, Paul said we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. Lord God, and I believe You use me this morning to expose the enemy, Lord, not to beat the people down, Lord God, because we know You don't beat Your wife, Lord. But Lord, just to help us to be more aware of the tactics of the enemy, Lord, so we can be resilient, Lord, be watchful, Lord God. Lord, at the devices of the enemy when he's coming in, Lord God. And Lord, Your word said when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will raise a standard. Lord, and I believe, Lord, that's what happened this morning, Lord. We're just raising the standard, Lord God. Lord, so we can love each other the way we should. Lord, bless each and every marriage couple, Lord God. Lord, let there be such a bond, Lord God, that, Lord, nothing can come between us, Lord God. And Lord, a bond that's centered around You, around Your love, around the message of the hour, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, You just grant our requests, Lord God. Bless Brother Jack, Lord, and his tabernacle. Lord, all the members, Lord God, and those who are visiting, Lord, just bless them the same. Bless our children. Lord, we know they encounter many wicked demons, Lord God, within the run of the day, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, You just protect them, Lord God. Lord, bless us all, Lord. Continue to keep us covered under Your blood. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you.
Give another hand clap. Appreciate Brother Sean this morning.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Yes. Wonderful. I don't even know what to sing now. Let's see. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way and was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior above gave me peace, joy, and love when He reached down His hand for me. When He reached down His hand for me, when He reached
down his hand for me. I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me. When he reached down his hand for me. When he reached down his hand for me. Oh, I was lost and undone without God or his son. When he reached down his hand for me.
Amen. Just want to thank the Lord, Lord God, for our pastor here, Brother Sean, as he came to visit us and brought such an inspiring message, dear Lord God. One that we all are guilty of something that was said today. We ask for your forgiveness and your help to help us to grow up, dear Lord God, to be a better servant of thee, dear Lord. You do and have done so much for us. We just give you thanks for everything you do. May you bless the people now, dear Lord, as they leave today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.